This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and Stephen Jones is going to join us here in just a second. We are live at Southern Leisure Spas and Patio, and they have an amazing sale going on. Three convenient locations across DFW, Arlington, Flower Mound, Richardson, plus there is a location in Austin, Texas. American-made hot tubs from Bullfrog Spas, Marquee Spas, Cal Spas, and Nordic Hot Tubs, all up to $4,000 off. General at your service. Salute to you. Hope you're having a great football Friday. There's Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboys scout. Wolchuk and Chia follower here. DJ Pridemore, original G-Bag producer in 2010, is here if you want to come shake his hand. The 2022 G-Bag Nation flag in all of its glory is flying proudly behind Brian Broaddus. You can see him on the webcam. And, of course, Lucius Alexander is back there in the Pimp Cup orchestrating and coordinating it all. And Carter Freeman is coordinating that video. You can see it at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. All right. Stephen Jones here in just a second. Bleacher Report posted Cowboys players who should be on the trade block after week three. Are you wanting to trade edge Dante Fowler, Brian? You've been watching. We're going to have to pick up this conversation. Yeah. Because the executive VP, CEO, and director of player personnel for the Cowboys, Stephen Jones, has a few minutes for us on a busy Friday afternoon. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We're not trading Dante Fowler.
Don't worry, Stephen. We were all going to say no. You can't have enough pass rushers.
This is a pretty sweet luxury you guys have with all these edge rushers. You know, what is it about this group now that's allowing them to take over games in the way they have so far through the first 3 weeks?
Well, I think a big part of it is you can't have enough. And if you can keep people fresh, and I know I was dying. I know our fans were dying when you keep Mike over there on the sideline, you know, up 10 points, and he's sitting for 6-7 snaps trying to let him get his air and make sure he's all good to go for the end of it. That's when the Dante Fowlers and, the Dorrance Armstrongs and Sam Williams, that's when they all come in handy. And you just can't have enough of them. Hats off to Mike and Dan and Will. And, that was our strategy in the off season. It was tough to lose Randy. We went hard at him. But in the meantime, we did get to keep Dorrance. We did get to go get Fowler, and we did get to keep Basham. So, we ended up keeping about three guys for one guy, and sometimes that works out for you.
Stephen, you've been in this league a long time, and it was always about continuity with your offensive line. Are we in an era now where you can play 5, 6, 7 guys, just continually rotate them in the offensive line and find ways to win games?
I think you can, Brian. I think as long as they bring something to the table. I mean, I don't want to dismiss the continuity. It's huge. I mean, if you really felt like you could have 5 guys in unison playing the same spot all year and injuries wouldn't play into it, I mean, that's perfect. But is it reality this day and time? And seems to be, for the most part, it's not. So you've got to go, you got to take the next step. And, we're certainly of, you can't have enough of those guys either. And, we obviously with getting Connor McGovern back and bringing Jason Peters into the mix, I thought Farniok did a really nice job. In everybody's absence, as we were working Peters into it, as we were, obviously we lost Connor McGovern and had to kick Tyler out to left tackle. But at the same time, we also know at some point Tyron Smith's going to come back into this mix. And, you know, like I said, like pass rushers, like a lot of things, like corners, you can't have enough of them.
Steven Jones here with us on The Fan. Are there things that you want Kellen and Dak to do together that you've seen Rush have success in the offense with?
No, I just think the bigger thing is, you know, that I would stress is that, and I know it's something that they really, you know, that we talked about as an organization is, you know, the running game. I think you got to be committed to it. And, you know, when you got a guy like Dak who can, who's shown he can throw it, you know, 60 times a game. I mean, if that's what you wanted, or 50 times a game, I mean, he might can do it, but is it in the best interest of our team? And is it, you know, the best way to win in terms of complementary football and what we do? So, you know, I just think the bigger thing here is we're showing here that we've got an offensive line and some running backs who can run the ball well. I thought last week was really you know, a great mix for Zeke and Pollard in terms of their touches, and then a great mix with our offense. I think we were right at 50, you know, percent passes, 50% runs, and, you know, if anything, I'd like to see that thing, you know, I think we all would maybe as an organization even have it tilt a little more toward more runs than passes. But, you know, against Tampa, we got behind the eight ball there, and we weren't, although we ran it successfully, it was hard to stick with it when you got behind there late in the third and fourth quarters that you had to get away from that run because you felt like you were playing catch up. But I think the biggest thing is complementary football and, you know, really doing the things, you know, that it helps to keep us balanced as an offense. I think that's not only good for Cooper Rush, but I think it's good overall for your offense.
When you talk about running the football, and I totally agree, I'm glad you guys did this, but did Kellen Moore and the offensive coaches not recognize that you had to do that to counter the clog and cover techniques that have become so prevalent in the last year and a half?
No, going in, I think it was on everybody's mind that we needed to run the ball more. And certainly when you got two backs, we all know we've had Zeke for quite some time, but you know, everybody looks over at Tony Pollard and said, why doesn't he touch it more? And, you know, in order for him to touch it more, you got to run it more. I mean, there's other – don't get me wrong. You get in the ball in space with a pass or a screen or a smoke route. But, you know, in general, you want to I just think you want to get him more touches, which means run the ball more. And I think going into the season, that was the intent. We worked on it in the off season. And as I said, against Tampa, we were efficient running it. We just couldn't do it enough because we got behind.
Steven, going back to the running game there, and it's been great. It was fun watching that left side with Tyler Smith and Jason Peters, and that seems like it's a really good relationship. Is that a tandem you'd like to see moving forward, or what's the plan with Connor McGovern getting back healthy on that left side?
Well, I think anytime you run the ball, you help your offensive line. You know, that's at the end of the day, young offensive lineman, that's the, you know, comes more natural, easier to run block. When you know, with these pass rushers in this league and when they know you're going to throw the ball, you know, the challenge, you know, certainly increases as you try to do that. And, you know, to be able to run the ball there, it's obviously a strength of Tyler Smith. He's so strong and so good at the point there. And Farniak, I thought, did a nice job. I think it's a strong point for Connor McGovern. And obviously, Jason Peters moving in there. He's, you know, in his career, he hadn't played a lot of guard, but he obviously showed he could get in there. And then, you know, he's already a leader in that room. I mean, Zach Barton speaks for himself, but it's great to have Jason Peters on this football team.
Steven, I know Washington's coming to AT&T Stadium this weekend, but as you look across the division, and every time Washington has a home game, their FedEx Field continues to leak pipes and sewage and just sort of crapping on their fans. Are you even surprised by that every time we see this thing?
Well, we're so worried about what we do, and we've got our challenges to put to be successful with the Dallas Cowboys. And we're worried about, our fan experience. We're worried about our football team. We're worried about the success of our football team. We're worried about our experience that we give our fans. And I know certainly Dan Snyder. I know the organization there. They're a proud organization. I know they want to have success as well.
Michael Gallup not on the final injury report. Is he expected to be a full go on Sunday against Washington?
You know, as we sit here right now, we feel really good about it. And, you know, real good about our guys that are coming back. Certainly we had some challenges there after the first game, you know, between what had happened to us, you know, with Tyron Smith and in the training camp, during the training camp, losing him. And then losing a handful of guys there for 2 or 3, 4 weeks in that first game. But we're going to be getting a lot of these guys back. It's a plus. I do think we put together, you know, a deep roster in most areas. And, you know, it's great to, you know, you give guys opportunities. Certainly Noah Brown showed what he can do when given an opportunity. C.D. Lamb obviously came on strong the last game or two. And, showing what he's capable of doing, and seeing a Tyler Smith get a great opportunity out there. You know, you give these young guys opportunities and they step up, it makes you better overall as a football team. So it's great to be not only seeing what can happen when we get Gallup back to go with CD and Noah and Tolbert and Semi and that group, and then you know, I thought our young tight ends did a good job in the absence of Schultz last week. But at the same time, it'll be great to have Dalton Schultz back.
Now, speaking of trades, Steven, since you mentioned it, are we getting calls about Cooper Rush?
No. This league shows if you look around.
Oh, there he goes.
You know, you have to have these stuff.
Yeah, Steven, we're losing you. Appreciate the call. Both Steven and Jerry on the road today for interviews as they're heading out to take care of their Football Friday responsibilities. And, of course, we thank Steven for joining us here on 105.3 The Fan, usually at about 3 o'clock, but had a busy schedule being out and about today and had to join us here in the 4. But, you know, I think when it comes to the idea of trading Cooper Rush, I'd be open to it, but I need a team to overpay, Brian. You know, I can't give him up for a 4 and then need another backup quarterback. You got a guy that knows your system, works well with your OC, works well behind Dak Prescott, and has proven he can win games. If nobody's going to call and offer me something really good, I want to give Cooper Rush like a lifetime backup quarterback kind of contract.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that that's what you talk about, player development, you know, in the way that players are. You know, he got an opportunity, and all it takes is that. But you have to be successful doing it, and they found a way. Steven is really – he's hammering this running game thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he really, really – you could tell it's like he's thinking about, okay, how do I protect my young offensive linemen that are playing? How do I protect my quarterback who is a backup right now?
And the league knows that. They're not going to think Cooper Rush is a commodity they got to chase to be their starter.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me that people are just like, hey, you could get something for him. And when you start to talk about fourth round for a guy, yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. If somebody would have offered you a fourth round pick for Cooper Rush before the Tampa game,
probably, yeah,
you would have said, do you want me to send the paperwork in or you going
right,
to do it?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know,
what's wrong with Will Grier?
So, no, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. To me, I personally thought that Will Grier, I like Will Grier. And I think if Will Grier played, I think a lot of people would like Will Grier as well.
Because of the running game. You know, it changes so much if you can run the ball with your quarterback.
It was also interesting. He emphasized the offensive line and a lot of the young guys, Tyler Smith specifically, in how their strength is run blocking. And that's something we've talked about a lot. You know, and brought us, we went through 1 through 5, and all right, are they better run or pass blockers? Mm-hmm. And they're playing to the strength of their football team. You know, yeah, sure, they want to emphasize the run game, that's great, but you're also, what does your team do best? And the skill set right now of their front five is run blocking, and that includes Terrence Steele all the way over to Tyler Smith on the left side. So right now I think that they're playing to the strength of their football team, and Zeke and Tony Pollard, and credit Zeke as well. Zeke said this week, hey, he likes the split. between the two. It's not like Zeke is being
a great teammate. Yeah.
I'm Ezekiel Elliott. I'm a former All-Pro. I'm a two-time rushing champ. I'm the highest paid running back in the league, and he's making a stink about this. No,
that'd be Jason Witten.
Right. Yeah. He's saying this is keeping both of us fresh right now, and he is being a good teammate, and he's taking one for the team right now.
Absolute stud. Okay, so thanks to Stephen Jones for joining us. Anything else, Chiafal, you wanted to get to?
I was just thinking about the rushing attack and the offensive line and how it relates to this particular weekend. And we talk and we joke about Farniak, and a lot of that's just because the name Farniak is a bit comedically funny. But I think Biotish is going to have his handful his hands full as well with Payne and Allen. Even Jason Kelce last week, who's one of the best centers, veterans in the sport with the Eagles, he got whooped up a couple of times because of Deron Payne, because of Jonathan Allen. So I do want to kind of have some eyes on Biotish this weekend as well.
I do think he fibbed on my Kellen Moore question. There's no way that didn't drive the Jones boys absolutely nuts. They're focused on the run so much this year, but they don't mind that last year we just ignored the run as a way out. Like, they couldn't get anything figured out last
year. Yeah, and he was fibbing about the FedEx Field crapping on its customers. You know he's firing off texts at Snyder every week. Geez, again, Dan, you're going to let these guys get crapped on? Figure it out, Dan.
We're live at Southern Leisure Spas and Patio. You like that outdoor living, don't you?
Get out here.
And right now we are entering the perfect climate for the outdoor living on the back patio. What do you need? Do you need a hot tub? Do you need a – is a spa and a hot tub the same thing? Is that what that is? Spa and hot tub?
Yeah. We're hot tubbing.
You need something like that. You need one of these beautiful Green Egg products or a backdoor oasis there with the gas grill set into the stone.
They've got saunas here as well.
Yeah, they got some beautiful saunas. You know the health benefits of sauna. I know you've been reading about it. Well, this is the place to get it. Southern Leisure Spas and Patio. And you can enter to win a Kamado Joe while you are here. We're back with Wooly Bully's Top 10. Sir, where are we headed with that today?
Well, it happens to be National Chewing Gum Day, but I know my teammates, and it's also National Homemade Cookie Day tomorrow. I got the top 10 favorite cookies in the United States of America. What's your favorite cookie? I might tell you what the favorite gum is as well. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And we're live at Southern Leisure Spas and Patio in Flower Mound. You can enter to win a Kamado Joe. 60-month 0% APR financing on all hot tubs with payments starting at just $117 per month. It is time now for Zach Wolchuk at his top 10 at 420. Here he is, the Wooly Bully.
Oh, thank you very much, General. We will get into our top 10 best kinds of cookies on what will be tomorrow, National Homemade Cookie Day. So if you got mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever makes the best homemade delicious cookies, make sure they're whooping them up tomorrow. As you get ready to watch a college football Saturday, Eric and myself will have BetQL from 11 to 3. You can watch that on the BetQL network. We will also be streaming that for you. We look forward to that. It's also National Chewing Gum Day. So go ahead and text in your favorite bubblegum and cookies, 877-881-1053.
Big League Chew.
Big League Chew is yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that. For 30 seconds, it's some of the best flavor you'll ever get.
Yeah. It doesn't really stand the test of time, but you get that bad boy in your baseball pants pocket when you're 11 years old, you feel like you're doing something.
No doubt. It was always a blast. I do have this story that I stumbled upon today. We don't talk a ton of UFC, but this one was kind of funny. It was Jose Aldo. And back, I mean, this was 2016 now, I want to say. It was Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo fought, and this was the first UFC title belt that Conor McGregor won, and it was a fight that was supposed to happen for a long time. And then eventually, it took 13 seconds. Conor McGregor knocks out Jose Aldo to become undisputed champion of that weight division, and Jose Aldo recently retired. So he's making the media rounds, and he was on a Brazilian podcast called the Brazilian Connect Cast. And he told a story about how Conor McGregor just drunken calls his private jet And Connor would do this just to, like, troll him.
Love it.
So he said, quote, it was funny because the guy drinks a lot. He drinks a lot.
He being McGregor?
Yes.
On that proper 12?
Oh, yeah.
He does some super drunk stuff.
Oh, yeah. He probably even
punched an old guy.
Yeah.
Well, he did. Yeah, because he
attacked a tour bus.
He wouldn't. Well, he did that. And I don't know if he was even drunk when he attacked the tour bus, but he probably was hammered when the guy rejected taking a shot of his proper 12, and then he punched him in the face. So he, Jose Aldo says, quote, it was funny because the guy drinks a lot. He drinks a lot. F yeah. He probably even likes to drink gasoline. Bro, he would call our private jet completely drunk, just talking S. Bleep, it was so funny. He's a good person because he does understand the other side. He understands the other person, but he's a guy with vision. And I just imagine, like, how does he, one, get the number to Aldo's private jet that he's on or his airplane? And then he's just calling and talking, hammered out of his mind, just complete bleep to him. And you could tell when the two fought, and UFC fans will know this, I mean, he completely mind bleeps Jose Aldo going into that fight. I mean, Aldo's looking down at the octagon floor before they face off. I mean, he wanted no part of that fight. It was over before it started. And that was the mastery of Conor McGregor in his prime.
Yeah.
Was the pre-fight, just getting the war of words, being able to psychologically beat down his opponent, and he doesn't have that anymore, and I think that's a big reason why he's no longer as dominant as he was.
Well, or did the alcohol rob him of the physical prowess to back up that match?
That also could very well be the case.
He's got booze brain.
Mm-hmm. He does, dude.
And drugs.
Yeah, and maybe some
CCP. Allegedly, Jesus.
They're pretty erratic behavior.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lucius, is it allegedly?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it is with us.
It is with us. Yeah, it is with us. The Lions have ruled out Amon-Ra St. Brown against the Seahawks. Also, DeAndre Swift is considered unlikely to play, and I think Broad has picked the Lions.
Oh, this is working out beautifully. This is much like last Friday when Dawson was riding Herbert and the Chargers only to realize, like, halfway through the show, oh, wait, Herbert with the rib cartilage, is he even going to play? And if he does, we know he's being treated by the same doctor that messed up the lungs and career of Tyrod Taylor. So it's like, oh, what a nightmare. And then, of course, the Chargers lose by a million on Sunday. Mm. And you wake up on Friday and
never
Dawson's
put any faith.
Got huevos in his face.
You can't put faith in the Lions at this point. Not yet. We're 3 weeks in. The turnaround might be a little bit premature. But here's Broadus. He's flirting with disaster here in his second bet payoff, I believe, is on your horizon. Amon-Ra St. Brown is like Mr. 10 catches a game.
Yeah, and that I think, too, and you look at the situation, too, with Swift, we'll see how that goes.
Oh, you're so toast.
But Jamal Williams has been pretty good for them.
Pick out your bet punishment now, sir.
He's straw dogging. He said he's going to straw dog because he's flexing. He says that he can bore out a wiener better than anybody. That's sort of his claim to fame. He's putting his balls on the line. And so we already know what he's signed up for. The next time Broaddus loses, whether it's this week, very, very likely, or the week thereafter,
the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Says, you know,
I'm not sitting here claiming that I'm not going to lose, Broaddus. Yeah. I know I'm going to lose.
No, yeah, but he didn't pick the Lions. I mean, losing 2 weeks in a row, I think,
Lions,
is excusable.
Lions,
picking the Lions.
It's a strategic pick. The Lions will be just fine.
I like the balls on you, sir. I like the cojones.
You just won Masterpiece of the Month.
To pick the Lions. I went with the Falcons and won last week.
Are you thinking that you don't want the Falcons anymore?
Well, I wanted to burn them. I wanted to get them out, you know. And I like
picking
against Seattle. I think's good.
I think Seattle. I think they're way. People are kind of talking about they're about to take the big. They're
especially
trying to get
going east.
They're trying to get the top three pick.
Gonna take back what I said there. The Saints are going to be without Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas against the Vikings. Winston's not officially out, but he's doubtful. So we'll see what happens moving forward, and that game will be in London. All right, let's slide into our top 10, boys. What do you say?
Yeah, that's the Christmas sugar cookie for me.
The Christmas sugar cookie.
Yeah. You make these little balls of sugar doughiness, and then you take like a rocks glass, and you stamp that on top of the sprinkles, and then you push the cookie down while you're sprinkling it. At the same time, and it's just, it's magic.
Push the cookie
down. I think it's cream of...
It's like you're eating a smash burger there.
I think it's cream of tartar that's like the secret ingredient in these sugar cookies that just sets it off.
Oh.
But I keep meaning to bring a bag back for you guys, but I swear I'll eat 20 of them in a day.
Yeah, no, I believe it, man. Nope. I've seen you put
down. He'll be sitting in the airport like, oh, hey, and he'll like, dig into his scouting bag, and he'll be pulling out the cookies. We're not going to get any
I can't walk 100%. By the freezer without pulling more out.
Honestly, so my old roommate, you guys met him. It was the bachelor, Jared, that came when we were at Mexican Bar Company. He eats drunks. Like a bird. Yeah, they're drunks, but so am I. So he eats like a bird.
Wait, his name is Jared the Bachelor?
Yeah.
Like
he's not a bachelor.
Like genuine a bachelor, but a bootleg version?
Sure, that's right. That's what I call him, Jared the Bachelor.
Okay. The Walmart version of genuine.
Yeah.
But no, like dollar store.
He can't eat a meal. But he snacks like a freaking demon, man. I mean, he's always snacking. You know, I roomed with him in college, and he's just snacking on whatever. And
sunflower seeds.
But you, sir, are the captain snacker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You snack more so than anybody I've ever met.
A lot of times I don't eat meals. You know, it's just, you know, zingers here, cookies there, a slice of pizza, you know, a Kit Kat out of the vending machine. No, guilty as charged.
All right, Lucius, where are we going? Best gum, in your opinion, on National Chewing Gum Day, and then favorite cookie?
You know those little sour babies, cry babies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cookie?
Yeah, well.
No, that's the gum.
It's the gum. Oh. It's really, okay. Really super sour. It's crazy. You know, I haven't had it since I was a kid, but we used to love those things, and you chew on the gum later all day.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have any flavor, but that kick at the front.
It makes you have that sour face.
Yeah. My favorite cookie is chocolate chip cookie with walnuts.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Then I like the Girl Scout cookies.
Oh.
Which one?
Thin Mint?
Oh, no, it's just called Girl Scout cookies. Sometimes we call them cookies for short.
Fair enough.
Is that like Kleenex? You know, it just could be anything?
Yeah,
pretty much.
So. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
If it's a Girl Scout cookie, I'm down.
Yeah. I like Magic Johnson's wife cookie because she's super loyal.
She's a good woman.
Yeah, that's the definition, too. Thick and thin. Let's see.
We like it.
Don't sleep on a Subway cookie.
Amen to that.
How about what's a Subway cookie?
Subway cookies are delicious.
They put them in the bag. You could kind of get them in the
They're like
the combo.
Soft.
Yeah.
Oh, they're
warm.
Good.
Yeah.
You'll leave with the Subway stench. You always do.
Oh, Subway sandwich cookies.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I like those. Yeah.
Not a cookie on a New York Subway.
I was trying to figure that out.
Like the Lucky Dog.
Subway cookie.
Yeah. But yeah, they're good.
That would actually be a good bet payoff.
All right, Eric Broaddus, where are you going with the cookies?
Oh, man. There's so many incredible cookies
all
out
right,
there.
Come on.
But the let's go with, first of all, I like it. It's got to be the soft version of just about any cookie.
Absolutely.
Like, soft 100%. over the crunch. Yeah. But I will do like
unless
this.
Unless you put ice cream between them.
There's a, ooh,
but
okay.
Even the Pazookie, you kind of like that to be a little moist, like a little soft.
Whoa.
The Pazookie is outstanding as well.
Gosh
dang it. I guess I'll do the macadamia now,
gosh
man.
Dang it.
Let's just go macadamia with this thing. There's so many great variety of awesome cookies. Yeah. I do like an oatmeal chocolate chip.
Yeah.
I mean,
fire.
No, I can't do oatmeal.
Why can't you do
I'm just not into it.
Why not?
I haven't had the right one.
Maybe that's right. Who is the number one cookie? Do you want to know what the number one is?
Oh, yeah. We have to do a spoiler right now for some in-house guests right here. Big Cowboy fan.
Number one cookie, chocolate chip. Yep, you were right. You were right. Number one is chocolate chip. We're going to go in reverse order. Number two, Oreo.
Ooh. Homemade
cookies. Oreo cookies are not. Well, these aren't homemade. They're just cookies in general.
Okay, yeah.
Number two.
You got to dunk the Oreo, but yeah.
You got to go. Number three is sugar cookies.
Bang.
Yep, they're delicious. Like number four, Snickerdoodle.
Yeah. Ah, there we go.
The Snickerdoodle. Cousin of the sugar cookies.
Yeah. Snickerdoodles are delicious.
Swirling.
And homemade Snickerdoodle are the way to go, too.
Yeah.
Number five, M&M, which is basically sugar.
Not bad.
Sugar with M&M.
Not bad.
M&Ms, not
yes.
bad.
Number six is peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good. And I've got to be soft.
Yes. And I've really fallen in love with the homemade peanut butter over time.
Yeah.
Like, it's really divine.
With the little crunchiness to it.
Yeah.
The crunchy peanut
it's
in it.
It's so good.
Doesn't the peanut butter cookie want a little bit of chocolate chip as well inside of it?
Sometimes, but it's also really good dipping in some milk.
Like,
the peanut butter, I think, is also delicious dipped.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it absorbs very nicely. I think it's a good combo.
I'll go out on a line and just say I'll dip all my cookies.
You keep talking about milk. Just put ice cream on the cookies.
Yeah, you're big. You like the a la modes.
Yeah.
That's such a crusty taste.
I'm trying to be a little bit more creative with the cookie.
That's creative?
Yeah.
A little vanilla ice cream?
Put ice cream in them. It makes it even better.
No, I'm not going to fight you. It's delicious.
Especially when it's fresh out of the oven cookie. You get the hot, cold mix there.
And it just melts a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course. Number seven, chocolate with white chips.
Okay, so
are we talking about like the Nestle little white chip things?
Like white chocolate chips,
yeah.
Or could that be like white macadamia nuts?
See, that's what I was thinking.
No.
When You hate macadamia, don't you?
Yeah.
I was told there's no such thing as white chocolate, by the way.
Really?
It's man-made.
It's just vanilla, right?
It's like,
so we're eating artificial crap.
Yeah, we're also eating hot dogs and beer together.
Chocolate.
I mean, what
you
are,
you
are
eating hot dogs and beer. And
not
he
me.
Is eating hot dogs and beer. Ain't drinking hot dogs and beer.
Number 8 is oatmeal cookies.
Yeah, bro.
Number 9, and I've never had this as a cookie. I've had it as an ice cream, but mint chocolate cookies.
Mint chocolate.
I guess that's like the
that's like the thin mint.
Thin mint. Well, I'm an idiot.
Okay. Yeah. Girl Scout.
God, I love thin mints. Well, I love thin mints. Yeah. Those are my favorite Girl Scout cookies. Now, I can't
get a whole tube.
Are you kidding me? I eat a whole tube? I'll eat the box in a sitting, bro.
Yeah, that's
bad.
I'm with you on that.
It is so bad.
Thin mints only.
Slightly chilled.
Slightly. I like to put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
I'll go full chill.
Slightly chilled.
Number 10 is the fudge stripe.
Okay, the Keebler.
Yeah,
Keebler,
I like the fudge
stripe. That's a good cookie.
Yep.
Thank you, Old Chuck. There it is, your top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the GBAC Nation. We're live Southern Leisure Spas and Patio, where they have 60-month 0% APR on all hot tubs. Payments as low as $117 a month. They have this great sale going on this weekend. The three DFW locations where you can enter to win a Kamado Joe Grill. It's like a Big Green Egg, but a little bit better. They souped it up. They put more good stuff in there. All right, we got to run around the NFL, the top stories from the world of pro football, including the latest on the controversy in Miami. That's coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. It is the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Southern Leisure Spas and Patio, the place to be to get a hot tub this weekend. You've always wanted one? Thinking, honey, why don't we get a hot tub this weekend? Southern Leisure Spas and Patio, three DFW locations. It's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. I have first down because I know you three were fellowshipping with Tolos all break long.
Guilty.
And it was amazing.
Guilty.
I did a little myself, but I managed to make it back to the broadcast table with a minute to go, and I found this great NFL story. And the latest on what the NFL is doing here after last night's controversial injury with Tua. So the chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, I don't know if this guy has credibility with you or not, or if he's just another arm of the NFL, but he is promising full transparency with the outcome of their investigation as the NFL and the NFLPA are both looking into this. I think the result is going to be a change in policy, maybe require being out but I don't know. I think the Dolphins followed, you know, the protocols, and people just don't like it. That's kind of my opinion, because it looked so ugly on TV. But Sill says, as soon as we finish that review, we'll release the results of it to everyone. We want to be as transparent and open. We want to learn to improve and get better, and we want to be the best in the world at diagnosing and managing these injuries. I think the thing to keep in mind is, while the NFL is greedy, while some of the people that own these teams are amongst the worst people in the world, one thing they have done for the last 12 years, I think, maybe even more, has been very strong in the head injury department, because they're trying to protect themselves from future lawsuits. Not because they care about the players. I don't want to defend them like that, because clearly most of them don't care that much about the players. But the way that they reacted to the bounty gate with the New Orleans Saints, those things on their heads in training camp practices now, the super shells, you know, all of the rules against targeting and hitting to the head, and like, they're paranoid about this because they believe it could kill their sport and cost them tens of billions of dollars in the future. So I don't know. I don't think the NFL is, or the Dolphins, are that negligent with this. I guess that's my take, and I'm kind of surprised that so many people are loud. But you know, when you get knocked down like that and you're seizing, I think it's really an adrenaline experience to watch that as a fan.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, and with Tua, we've seen it the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, it's one thing to hear Christy Scales say he's in the blue tent for a concussion, but you didn't see it. You know, we saw what happened with Tua last week. We saw him try and stand up, and we saw him stumble and his teammates. And, you know, and then 4 nights later, you see them wheeling a stretcher out there, you know, with his hands, you know, all
man,
just.
Because he constantly gets hurt.
Yeah, and to me, that's where now it I hate this. I hate that it has to take guys, you know, we see it, that visual. You know, it took and here's my racing background, Dale Earnhardt Jr. slamming into a wall before they figured out you got to make these cars safer.
Hans device
mandatory. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've got to make softer walls. We've got to make Hans device. We've got to do these things to try. Yeah. You know, it's one thing for these players to leave their game with having short, sore shoulders and knees and backs and things like that, but not having their facilities in their brains. That's the thing that
it's terrifying.
Yeah, they're willing to make the sacrifice for that.
Yeah,
but now you're talking about neurological stuff.
It is kind of what they sign up for. You know, it happens every weekend in the sport of boxing. Yeah. You know, and it's terrifying. But Roger Staubach went through it. Troy Aikman went through it. Babe Laufenberg went through it. Babe was sharing some videos earlier, and it's been historically part of playing football. And I'm not saying it to dismiss the seriousness of it or anything like that. But the other point to make is, from a personal experience about 3 months ago. I was just watching Abby play for another team, and I was not coaching, and I got in a lot of trouble because she took a fall, hit the back of her head similar to Tua, and she gets up wobbly, and the ref's only worried about the direct kick. So I got up and ran out onto the field, which you're not supposed to do, right? Mm. The refs are paranoid about fans attacking them. But I needed to get the game stopped and check on Abby. So she's wobbling. She goes back to the ground, right, because she'd hit her head so hard. Trainer comes over, who's a doctor, right, who's volunteered his services for this tournament, does a review on her, and he's like, no, she's fine. She can go back in the game. Mm. I'm like, how does she not have a concussion?
Yeah.
She was hit so hard in the head, she tried to get up and fell back down.
Right.
It's like, well, sometimes it happens. It's not a concussion. So she went back in and played. Here is Zach Wolchuk with second down.
So, she's a badass.
Yeah, she is. We had the butt punt situation that happened, and Tom Brady was having a laugh about that as he was on his Let's Go podcast talking with Jim Gray. In fact, they ended up going back and having a conversation about the butt fumble, which apparently is the most hilarious play that Tom Brady has ever witnessed in his NFL life. In fact, he didn't even see it live. He said, quote, being a part of the lore of the butt fumble, I was at that game, and the best part about that was I didn't see it live. I really didn't know what happened. I got back to my hotel that night. I stayed in New York that night. It was a Thursday game, and I got to see my son the next day, who was living in New York at the time, and it was about 12 o'clock, Brady said when he finally saw the play. I got back to my hotel. I turned it on. And they were replaying the game, and I saw the butt fumble. And the first time I saw it, I laughed out loud in my room by myself for about 20 seconds because I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life in sports. And the fact that our team was the beneficiary of it and I was on the sideline still makes it one of the funniest things I ever remember in sports. I just think that makes it even better. Tom Brady just having a good laugh about it, and he continues to be just a little bit more endearing and likable as he continues to get older in his playing career.
That's that Carson Wentz type of energy, isn't it? Like, oh, no, what do? I'm losing control. Oh, I ran into a man's butt. It's my teammate.
It was a funny play, man.
and Brady's getting more likable to all of us except for his wife, apparently.
Yeah.
Of us, he does seem to be.
Well, and apparently his players are getting, or his teammates might be getting a little fed up with that.
Hey, you don't get fed up with the GOAT, okay? I'm sick of hearing about all these random Buccaneers. Like, no.
If Tom Brady, Super Bowl rings,
I don't even believe that.
I'm not buying that either.
Shut
Brady, you do what you want, bro. As long as you're on the field at kickoff on Sunday, then I'm good, homie.
Exactly.
Like, I don't need anything else from you.
He retired. You went from a Super Bowl contender to, I don't think this team's making the playoffs.
What are you gonna do? Blaine Gabbert and put him in the game?
Right.
Go bleep yourself.
Here's Giafalo with third down. He's on a roll.
Yeah, okay, here we go. I've been saving this one. I meant to get to it earlier in the week, didn't get a chance, but this is some trash talking from a new school current NFL player and an old school NFL player. Twitter beef. This is beautiful. Shannon Sharp, we all know him, former Bronco. He tweeted out during the game, it was on Sunday night because it was the national televised game. It's Broncos, it's Niners. We had the Orlovsky situation. Speaking of the butt punt, last week was just filled with football funnies, but it was a brutal game. It was an ugly game. There was no offense whatsoever in that game. And Shannon Sharp at one point during the game just tweets out without tagging Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy in it, just saying, Jeudy does all this route running in the offseason and can't catch a bleeping pass.
Mm.
Well, right after the game, of course, the Broncos end up winning, and it has nothing to do with their offense as to why they won. They scored 11 points. It is terrible. No one on that offense should be proud of the performance that they had just put out there on national television. But Jerry Jeudy gets word about this Shannon Sharp tweet, so he quote tweets it, and he responds by saying, "And you be doing all that talking during the season while your breath be smelling like your ass. Hashtag big win."
Wow.
So I don't know if he's alleging that Shannon Sharp has the same type of mouth issue that Warren Sapp suffers from, but I just feel like that's pretty great trash talk.
Shannon
right there.
Sharp is the one guy in all of sports I want no physical or word smoke with.
No,
he can dismantle you physically or verbally. It's your choice. But if Shannon Sharp is disappointed in me, I'm just going to take that. Because I also know he's super smart. You know, he's not hot-taking to make stuff up like Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith. He's bringing, like, knowledge, wisdom. And I would be humbled and be like, man, Shannon Sharp's on me. It's time to work harder. It's not time to talk back.
Yeah.
Like, Shannon Sharp's not out here making stuff up about people. Plus, I'm pretty sure he can still kick everybody in the NFL's ass.
Oh, bro, when Uncle Shay Shay does his yearly birthday selfie shirtless from every angle of his body, it is like it gets more and more impressive every year because he is not very young, but he is very, very shredded.
Yeah, we saw him at a Super Bowl. I think it was Houston. It was like, holy crap.
Dude, monster.
He's gotten in better shape. Since
he has.
Yeah. Here's Bottas with fourth down.
Yeah, you guys didn't tell me this about what was going on with these Lions, did you? About who's playing and who's not playing.
Well, we're trying to.
That's
you were
part
just
of
too busy
your
job.
Hey, start boring out that wiener right now, brother. We'll see you next Friday.
Well, they ruled all those guys out, by the way. Brown.
Questionable
out.
Went to doubtful, went to out real quick.
Are you regretting the precedent-setting move of not letting me back out last week?
No. I am going to win with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I am going to win with them. But if I have to, you know what I'm going to do. But, yeah. That's right. St. Brown will be out, and then Swift will also be out. That's an ankle with St. Brown. So, you know, if you're one of those guys or gals that play fantasy football and you have St. Brown, he's not going to play. And then, like say, Swift, both of those unlikely to play.
You'll get Jamal Williams.
To Man Campbell is ruling those guys out. So let's see if the Lions can keep me from doing the straw dog next week.
Probably not. Okay, we're live at Southern Leisure Spas.
Don't
and
be
patio.
So confident.
Well, I probably shouldn't be, considering I had to pay one off this week. But I learned my lesson. I'm not backing any more horrible teams or horrible quarterbacks. Talking about Justin Herbert.
Injury quarterbacks.
Yeah, the guy has platinum tools and a nickel brain. That's what's going on with Justin.
Oh,
like he's a book nerd. He's a bookworm. He's not a football player. And I learned my lesson on that last week. Somehow you haven't learned your lesson, and you're
no. I'm just going to try and make it work.
In line with Jared Goff.
Yeah, I'm going to. Why not?
Okay, Southern Leisure Spas and Patio,
it's
platinum level
idea.
Big green egg dealer with over 180 accessories for eggs of all sizes. Three convenient locations: Flower Mound, Arlington, Richardson. And now open in Austin, Texas. We got the 5 o'clock hour coming up. Jerry Audio, is there anything that scares the super optimistic Jer about the commies? Plus, Next Gen Stat says the Cowboys have one of the best of these in the league. It's not Micah or Zach. Who is it? We'll have that. Eric Nadel, what you drinking and what you thinking, all on tap, a huge 5 o'clock hour on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.